You say your ship can't stand another storm, and the final wave seems near. Just anchor deep to the solid rock. Let the captain handle your fear. Back here this evening. Choir's been working hard all afternoon. We're trying our best to get ready for homecoming, which is next Sunday morning. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. In a few moments, we'll have a couple more announcements, and we'll move forward in the service tonight. We're looking forward to the message tonight. We got a little bit of a challenge, I believe. CJ, someone, you take us to the Lord in a word of prayer this evening. Amen. I tell you, why don't we all stand, choir stand, church stand. Let's turn over to page number 120. Page 120, and let's sing about the victory that we have in Jesus. All right, everyone sing together now. I heard an old song. is coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We'll have choir practice at 7. If you're here and you want to come be in the Bible study, if you'll go down to Brother Brian's class at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening, he'll be holding the Bible study down there, give the choir an opportunity to come in and work on our songs, and be able to get out of here at a decent hour. So please come on Wednesday, Bible study downstairs in Brother Brian's class, choir practice at 7. Next Sunday morning, choir practice at the regular time, choir at 9:30. There'll be no Bible study next Sunday morning. The service for homecoming will start at 10:30, not 11. So if you're going to invite your friends and neighbors, please make sure that you tell them to be here at 10:30 so they don't come strolling in here and be ready to have it out with you for being embarrassed and being early or late. So, but it'll be a great time next Sunday. Brother Snyder, I spoke with him as well as Miss Marcia this afternoon. Very, very excited about being here with us next Sunday morning. 10:30, then no evening service next Sunday night, but we'll have a great time of fellowship immediately following the service on Sunday morning for homecoming. Anybody excited about being here next week? Amen?
Amen.
We're looking forward to a great time, and we are very excited about it. And then if you will, pray for the choir. That following Monday night, we have a choir appointment over at Victory Baptist Church in Austell, or in, I guess that's Austell area, right off Austell Road. Victory Baptist Church, if you want to go with us, we'll get you the address. We'd love to take as many as we can. So we're looking forward to a great time. That'll be 7 o'clock on Monday evening at Victory Baptist Church for revival. The choir will be going to sing. So please remember that. A lot of prayer requests. Please remember each one that are going through some difficult times. Pray for Pastor tonight. And let's ask the Lord's blessing on the offering as well as the service. Brother Don, would you lead us as we pray?
Offerings.
ready, and then we'll get going.
No.
Okay.
Hey, what? You just lay out their clothes, because it takes me 5 minutes.
Honey,
that's perfect.
Seriously.
Jack, well, we're already late for church.
Hey,
you
Brian.
Get yourself dressed.
Did you pick up my stuff from the dry cleaners?
Okay, Jack, I'm gonna make you waffles.
Can I have a sandwich?
Yes, but you gotta make it by yourself. Jack! Okay.
This is all I could find, and the zipper's broken.
All right, I'll go grab a safety pin.
I have the high score!
What are you doing?
Daddy, I'm painting your fingernails.
Well, that's great, sweetie, but go get dressed.
I need you to stay still, okay? Honey.
Come on, let's go.
Okay, everybody needs to eat. Here you go. Here you go. Okay, here you go.
I forgot my shoes.
Honey, we gotta go back.
I want to take off my shoes.
Nobody's taking off their shoes. And I want everybody to understand that.
We made it.
Yep.
This evening, number one, just to do something a little different as we start meeting back up here on Sunday nights. I wanted to show that video to show what most families go through on Sunday mornings. But also, I'm on. The battery's dead. But also, not only most families, especially kids, go through that on a Sunday morning, but most mornings as well, getting ready for work and school. But also, what about the weekends? Ball games and birthday parties, holidays, events, etc. It's kind of like that. We put our best foot forward and we show our best side. But all the while, we scrounge and we pull and we pick and we try to get things together. We try to make things functional. Families have to function correctly for things to work. Sometimes people joke, oh, that's my dysfunctional family over there. But while a lot may feel that way, they're not really that way at all. It's mom and dad trying to do their best raising their families, experiencing growing pains, ups and downs. Many times we feel like we have dysfunctional families, and it's simply because we're growing families. And families must grow. And so saying that, families must function a certain way for things to work. And tonight I want to take that thought and actually share with you a two-part message entitled Family Functions. Family Functions. Tonight, I want us to look at how parents are to function, or the role of a parent. And then the Sunday night after next Sunday night, there's no church because of homecoming. I want to look at, if I could, in one message, how grandparents, aunts, uncles, and siblings are to function. Of course, the Bible is our basis for our message and messages, but also some life experience is going to be thrown in the middle of it. And if you have your Bibles tonight, please make your way to the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, chapter number 1, if you would, for a few moments. 1 Kings, chapter number 1. Family functions. How parents are to function. I want to say, first of all, before I get started, I don't have it all figured out. All right. I'm a parent in training. And so I'm sure that those who are raising kids or parents can agree with that. There are parents in training as well. And if you say, well, my kids are grown and I'm a grandparent, well, we'll speak about you our next service. Number one, when it comes to parents and how parents are to function, the role of a parent, parents are to be protectors of their children. Notice, if you would, in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 1 and verse number 5, there is a son by the name of Adonijah. And this is one of the sons of David. And listen what the scripture says in verse 5. 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalteth himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Now look at this in verse number 6. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. And what we see here is we see the negligence of a father. The Bible clearly states here in verse 6 that, and David being the father, that and his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? So David literally did not interfere with the decisions of his son Adonijah that he was making, as far as we know, when he was little, as far as we know, when he was middle-aged, and now one in adulthood. David, as far as we can tell, never interfered in his life. Never asked him, son, think about this. Son, is God telling you to do this? Now, Adonijah wanted to be king, and he said, I'm going to be king. But you see, there was a problem with that. Solomon was to be the next king. First, don't turn there, but in 1 Chronicles 23 and verse number 1 says that David blessed Solomon to take the reins. And so we have Adonijah, and he is going after kingship, and his dad David said nothing about it, at least at this particular point. David never challenged Adonijah's action ever in his life to a grown adult. Why not? Why didn't David ever challenge his son? Why didn't David ever check in? Why didn't David protect his son in decisions he was making? Well, maybe David didn't want to rock the boat. Sometimes in the household, when we know something's going on with our kids and we're scratching our heads, we've been down this road before and we're thinking, well, I can call it like it is and deal with it. But as a result of dealing with it, it's going to be a long night at this house.
There's going to be some upset family members in this house. I just don't want to deal with it. I'm just going to give it to God, let it work itself out. I don't want to rock the boat. Sometimes when it comes to family functions, and sometimes the reason why families are dysfunctional is because mom and dad don't want to rock the boat. And so maybe David didn't want to rock the boat. Maybe Adonijah was perfect in the eyes of David and could do no wrong. Oh, Adonijah, I don't have to question him. I don't have to ask him about anything. He's my perfect son. And, of course, anytime we have sons and daughters that do wrong and we don't talk to them about it and challenge them according to their wrongdoings, we are doing them an injustice and doing them a disservice and a harm. Maybe Adonijah was perfect in his eyes and could do no wrong. Maybe David felt that he himself did wrong growing up, and we know he did. So who is David to tell his son what to do when he had mistakes as well? Let him just learn the hard way. That's also a wrong viewpoint in raising children. Well, I'm not going to tell my child what to do. I sowed my wild oats. I'm going to let them sow their wild oats. I'm not going to tell them what to do. No, the best thing to do for us parents is if we did wrong growing up, and we all did, or if we did wrong presently, we need to ask God to forgive us and then instruct our children not to make the same mistakes. So there could be a slew of reasons as to why David never challenged Adonijah's actions ever in his life until to be a grown adult. And so we see that David did not protect his son. He did not protect him. As parents, we should start early in life. We should question our children. We should talk to our kids and definitely protect our kids. Whether our kids understand our decisions or not, we must protect them. Many times they don't understand why we do what we do as parents. Oh, mom, oh, dad, you're trying to make my life miserable. Why won't you let me be their friend? Why won't you let me go to that skate rink party? Why don't you let me do this? And why don't? Well, because just trust us, you're not going to do that. We know who that crowd is. We know who their parents are, and their parents aren't raising their kids the way that we raise you. And there's going to be problems with that. They're just not compatible. You're not compatible with that person. So many times our kids don't understand why we do what we do and why we say what we say, but yet all the while we're trying to protect them. I can remember growing up, bless her heart, my mother did the best she could. My dad did the best he could. My grandparents did the best they could. Of course, my grandpa scared me a little bit because he was real quick to go outside and grab a hickory switch. And he would run those leaves off, say, "Come here, boy." And he would strap my legs. So I had a tendency to listen to my grandpa and my grandma a little more. But even growing up, and, you know, mom, dad, grandparents, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. That's the wrong crowd, and you don't need to get mixed up with that. I would complain. I would be angry and even just storm off and say, "You know what? I'm going to do what I want to do." And I did. And it got nasty. And now, full turn, now I'm a parent. And now I look at my daughter with protective eyes, knowing what I went through in my past, trying to protect her of her present and her future. She may not always understand it. She may not always agree of it. But it's my calling. It's her mother's calling. And that is, whether they agree or not, our children, we are to protect them. We're to protect them. Not be like David here, where he did not ask his son at any time, "Why are you doing this?" And so we should start early as parents. Start early. questioning our kids, talking to our kids, definitely protecting our kids, whether they understand or not. If we don't start early, they won't listen later. Or at least it'll be very hard to get them to listen later. And so tonight, what are some things that are relevant we should protect our kids from? I want to mention a few things this evening, some things as parents we're to protect our kids from. And this isn't an exhaustive list. This isn't the only things we're to protect our kids from. But this is just a few that I came up with. And the first one's a big one. And you probably already know where I'm going. The internet. The internet. Can I get an amen to the internet? The internet. What is it about the internet? And let me just say this. I'm not throwing our kids under the bus. I'm not saying our kids are bad. Our kids aren't bad. I don't believe there are any bad kids. I just believe there is bad parenting. The internet is very helpful. Because of the internet tonight, through Facebook, many are able to see our service. Even in other countries, they view our services. Jim Jr. tells me in Indonesia they watch. Of course, Brother Don, Sister Carla, they watch, and some of theirs watch. I'm sure some of their congregants over there, they watch. Internet is an amazing thing. It's amazing how you can get your cell phone. I'm still amazed by this. You can send somebody a text half across the world. You can send one to Peru, and boom, just like that. It's there. That's amazing, and that's pretty awesome, if I could say the truth. It's an amazing thing. But at the same time, the internet is very helpful, but it also can be very detrimental. And in some cases, even fatal. You say, hold on, Brother Justin. You're going a little off the road here. How can the internet be fatal? Well, can I give you a couple reasons why or things how it could be fatal? The internet can be fatal when it comes to these meet and greets. And what I'm about to say, if you have met your spouse from a dating site, I'm not saying God wasn't in it. We know some who've been married for years who met on a dating site, a Christian dating site. But what we have in our internet world, we have these meet and greets, and sometimes they end up being date rapes. We have these meet and greets, and there's a man on the other end. Oh, I'm a teenager in high school. I'm the big quarterback. Little girl's trying to talk to a young guy, thinking it's a young guy, and there's this meet and greet, and they meet, and he's not a young guy, but he's a grown man. And she is captured, and she is thrown into a van, and she is caged, and she is drugged, and she is raped, and she is sold into slavery. Talking about sex trafficking tonight. And listen, that is a very, very real thing, sex trafficking. In fact, it wasn't too long ago, I talked to a detective at Paulding County Sheriff's Office. His name is Detective Broad. And he says, Justin, right now in Paulding County, we have our eyes on 30 pedophiles that are disguised, at least 30, disguising themselves online as young men, and they're also sex traffickers in Paulding County. There are people wanting to take your kids. Right now in Paulding County. If you don't believe me, I can get a report and I can show you. Sex trafficking is taking place right now where we live. And so the internet, it can be detrimental. It can even be fatal. One of the things that we watch at our house to unwind is 48 Hours. And we're intrigued with some of the stories on 48 Hours. There's a YouTube channel where 48 Hours has their own YouTube channel, and it's a 45-minute story of, you know, some crime, some tragedy, but we watch them and we learn from them. And listen, this isn't just 48 hours on YouTube or TV. This is in our backyards. It's taking place. And so we see that internet can be detrimental. We can go on and on and on about that, but let me move on a little bit concerning the internet. We need to safeguard our internet usage if we have kids. Even adults, there needs to be safeguards. There needs to be filters if you have to. Put safe searches in place when it comes to Google or Bing or all the rest of them. All it takes, did you know tonight all it takes is type in one wrong letter? And now you're on a site which can be attached to your web searches, and it can be attached to what you've looked at on the internet. And I mean, it's just there. It's just there. One wrong letter, one wrong word must have safe search on, have filters, safeguard your internet, especially with children. Laptops and cell phones. Y'all may think that, I'm not going to say y'all, I'm not going to say everybody, but some may think I'm a little crazy, but laptops and cell phones should be used in the family room. Laptops, Dad, I got homework to do. Sit beside Papa on the couch. Dad, I want to talk to my friend. Can I go to my room? Well, you can. But have you been down that road before? It's for the safety. And listen, I understand that we give our children rope and they have to earn trust. And as that trust is built, we give them a little more rope. But sometimes we just got to reel that rope in because of such a dangerous world. It's not so much that I don't trust Lily. It's I don't trust what's on the internet that may try to get Lily. And so she lives a restricted life, but it's mom and dad trying to protect her. It's a good thing to check their history. It's a good thing to check our children's apps. You know there are secret apps out there that are found on children's phones? Detective Brock told me there's an app that looks like a calculator. And so mom and dad goes to do a phone check. Looks good, looks good, looks good. Oh, calculator. She's trying to learn math. He's trying to learn math. He said, what you do, you get on that app and you swipe twice. There's a password you put in. You put that password in, it is everything they're trying to hide, if they're hiding anything. Any secret conversations, any explicit pictures, any kind of relationships that they have online, their age or older, it's been found that there has been many, many explicit things. It's been said that it's been found many, many explicit things on these kind of apps. And so there's a calculator app. I mean, there's all kinds of apps. There's a reading book app. You swipe twice, put in a code, there it is. And so there's secret apps us parents have to be on the lookout for. But there's dangerous apps. Dangerous apps. Some may not agree with me on some of these apps that I want to name. And listen, some of these apps that I'm going to name, I'm not throwing stones at nobody. All I'm doing is putting a warning out for our young people and for our older people to understand that it's dangerous for our younger people. But older people need to protect themselves too. We all do. Snapchat is a dangerous app. Did you know with Snapchat, after you send a message, it's erased, it's gone? Oh, all I'm doing is texting with my friends. Okay, if you're just texting with your friends, why don't you use the messaging app that comes with the phone? I'll tell you why. Because there's more going on behind the scenes and you don't want mom and dad to know about it. Oh, I can text my friend. I get on Snapchat, I can do this, do that. Again, not throwing any kids under the bus, not saying anybody did anything wrong, just saying what's out there. Oh, explicit pictures. Listen, nudes and all the rest of it, men and women and sexual acts and videos and all of these kind of things. And the moment you send it, it's gone. Snapchat's a dangerous app, but is it gone? Detective told me this. I can retrieve anything on Snapchat. And so if any of our children, any of our teenagers have Snapchat, please know that anything you send, anything you receive is not gone. It is there and it can be found out and it can wreck and ruin not only your life, young person, but your family's life. TikTok. What about TikTok? TikTok's a dangerous app. They were, what was it, a year, 2 years, sometime during a pandemic? TikTok was supposed to be shut down. I can't remember the maker. I think it's out of Russia, something like that. China probably, I don't know. But underneath the surface of TikTok is a community of pedophiles and sex addicts. And they want your young child, your young daughter, your young boy. They want your grandchild. I'll give you another. Anybody ever heard of Omegle? I hope not. Detective said, if you find Omegle on your daughter's cell phone, you better get rid of it yesterday. Omegle is where you immediately you sign in and you press go. 5 seconds, you're face to face with a complete stranger all around the world. It can be Georgia, New York, it can be overseas. And the detective said at least half of the time the person is either partially nude or completely nude. And let's just say, for instance, one of our young people, oh, this is cool. I never talked to anybody in another state before. Da-da-da. There it is. Now they're face to face. They have seen something so just bad and, you know, something so dirty and wrong. Part of their innocence was taken by deception. Shame on the devil. Shame on the devil. Shame on the workers of the devil who allow some of these apps to surface. Now, I want to say one more and we're going to move on. And again, I'm not bashing anybody who has this, but this one was an eye-opener for me. Pinterest. Whoa, wait a minute. I get my art ideas from Pinterest. Okay, I get, you know, all this decorations, and that's what's on there. There is an underground community on Pinterest socially. It's all about sex trafficking. It's all about abducting children, reeling them in. They have what you call groomers in sex trafficking. Let me just step down a little bit closer just in case any sex traffickers may be watching me. They have what they call groomers. And a groomer is someone who doesn't just say, hey, come on, get over here. They don't pull up in an ice cream truck and say, you know, you want an ice cream, and the door flies open. That was, you know, back in the 80s and 70s and 80s and 90s. Someone comes along and shows a little interest in them. And it may be a child who has a void in their heart from just being a teenager and struggling. And so this person comes along digitally and says, hey, you're pretty. Hey, you're handsome. Would you like to exchange numbers? What's your likes, your dislikes? So it goes all in the spin, slowly, slowly reels them in until there's a day that they can meet. And the day that they meet It isn't a snatch to take you away. It's a, hey, it's nice to meet you. Here, I bought this for you. And so this goes on. They get groomed. The groomer is trying to win the trust in the heart of the teenager or person. And all the while, that teenager is thinking in their head, I got it so strict at home. It's so hard at home. Mom and dad don't understand me at home. They won't let me do anything at home. But here's this nice young man that I'm falling in love with. And so knowing mom and dad isn't for it, there's an arrangement. And that's exactly what there's an arrangement to meet again and again and again. And then finally comes the capture. And it's hook, line, and sinker. Their heart has been won. They do not think that this groomer is anything other than someone that likes him, and they're taken. A whole underground world of sex trafficking under Pinterest. And I'll just go ahead and say it, it's everywhere in social media, not just these. Internet is great, but internet is evil, can be. There ought to be limited screen time and phone time when it comes to our children. Limited. We ought to know the passwords of our young people. Parent, do you know your teen's passwords? If not, you better get them. Again, we're not saying that they're doing anything wrong, but it's for their protection. Let me move on to this. What about video games? You're preaching tonight. Bro, Justin, you know, young people might be thinking, you know, you don't want us to have no fun. What about video games? There is one particular video game called Grand Theft Auto. Listen to this. This is how sly the devil is. In this game, Grand Theft Auto, as it says and how it really is, sexual abuse is an underlying theme in Grand Theft Auto. So the kids get home from school and you don't want to be bothered because you got things to do. You're busy with your job, and you said, just go in there and play your game. And they're in there playing Grand Theft Auto. And while they're playing Grand Theft Auto, there's people on there getting sexually abused. And God forbid that the one playing the game is not the one doing the abusing. This is the devil's way of indoctrinating our children. That it's okay for domestic abuse and domestic violence, domestic assault, and all the rest of it. It's okay. It's not okay. Again, the devil will not come into your home and say, I'm going to destroy your life. I'm going to wreck and ruin. No, he will come in through video games. He'll come in through the internet, but also he'll come in through music. Through music. What's the messages in the music our children listen to? I'll say, unless it's Christian music, you can sum it up in three things. And I will debate with anybody on this to the day I die. Unless it's Christian music or classical instrumental music, there's three things with most music. Sex, drugs, rock and roll. Sex, drugs, rock and roll. It's, you know, he did me wrong. I loved him strong. I let him go and went to the bar. And I got so drunk and I went home. Hey, man, I say a little country music, can't I? Perhaps I have, and that's why I know. You know, they don't have, country's not, since Brother Harold's going to put me out there, country's not the way country used to be. All right. It ain't Country Road, Take Me Home, John Denver. Okay? It ain't that anymore. But to my defense, Harold, I can't go into Longhorn Steakhouse and eat a meal without hearing about the lady who got dumped and went to the bar. We have 5 access points to our hearts. Our hands, our eyes, mouth, nose, and ears. What we feel, see, taste, smell, and hear affects our hearts. And I want to tell you, you listen to the wrong thing long enough, it will affect your heart. I'm talking about, am I a country boy? I feel like I'm a country boy. I guess I'm a city slicker. But it's in country music, it's in rock music, and God forbid the rap music. I never have understood that anyway. And alternative music and all of that. It's all in there. Sex, drugs, rock and roll. Proverbs 4, chapter number 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We must protect our kids concerning music. Concerning music. All right, let me give you another point, and we'll be through for tonight. Parents are to be protectors, but then parents are to be providers. Providers. We must provide for our kids. Children need to know they're going to be safe. Children need a safe haven. Children need to know they're going to be provided for. A child shouldn't have to worry if they're going to have food to eat in the morning or food to eat during summertime when school lets out. You know, a lot of children, the only lunch meal they get is when school is in session during the school year because food's not at home. They suffer all summer long. Provide food and clothes and all the rest of it. They shouldn't have to worry about that. 1 Timothy chapter 5, let me just give it to you briefly. 1 Timothy chapter 5 says this in verse number 8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Worse than an unbeliever. Parents should love and encourage their children. Tonight, keep in mind, we're talking about families that function correctly. This is how we're to function correctly. We should provide for them love and encouragement. Listen to this. If fathers don't bond with their daughters, they're going to bond with some other man. If fathers don't bond with their daughters, they will bond with other males. When the day comes that my daughter starts looking for marriage material, I would hope and pray that she's looking for the same qualities that's found in me as her dad. And she'll settle for nothing less. We ought to provide a spiritual heritage for our children. Proverbs 13:22. You can follow along or I'll just give it to you kind of like a Bible drill as we get ready to sum it up here in a few moments. Proverbs 13, verse 22. A good man leaveth an heritage to his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 5. Listen to this. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, you see the generational pass down. Because grandma lived for the Lord and read the scriptures, saved, born again. Mother read the scriptures, saved, born again. Timothy read the scriptures, saved, born again. Let the circle be not broken tonight. Let us provide a spiritual heritage for our children. Let our family love Jesus generations down. We're to provide biblical teaching and instruction for our children. Listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter number 11, verse number 18 says, therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Provide biblical teaching and instruction. Teach them the ways of God. We're to provide, parents are to provide for our children as examples. Our kids will do what we do more than do what we say. That's the truth. Our kids, they hear us talking the gospel. They hear us laying down standards and principles. They're going to watch and see if we do those as well, if we live by those. And if we don't, they're not going to do them. Our kids do what we do more than do what we say. But of course, lastly, we're to provide discipline for our kids. Discipline. Proverbs 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, or early. We can't wait till our kids are teenagers to start disciplining them, because it's just not going to go well. If we love our children, we will discipline our children. It's funny. My mom used to say, son, I'm doing this because I love you. No, you can't go there. No, you can't do this. No, you can't do that. But I'm telling you, son, I love you. I love you. I love you. And that's the reason why I'm doing this. Now, as a parent, I tell Lily, you know, no, you can't do this, or you've done this, and no, you shouldn't have done that. And, you know, I tell her, I say, you know, I'm doing this because I love you. I'm doing this because I love you. You're grounded because I love you. You can't go there because I love you. You did this. You shouldn't have done that. I love you. That's why. And it just seemed like growing up that my mom said, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, got in some trouble, what have you. It just really seemed like she didn't love me because I couldn't do nothing. But really, she did love me. Number one, she loved me enough to discipline me, but she loved me enough to keep me away from certain things. Tried to, anyway. So he that spareth his rod hateth his son. The reason why we correct our children is because we love them. And if there is a mom and there is a dad who does not discipline their children, they do not love their children. The Bible says it. He that spareth the rod hateth his child. It doesn't mean rear back and with the genuine leather, strap them. Doesn't mean that. How about this? Speak it to their heart. Isn't that what Jesus did after Peter denied him three times? He said, come and dine. Jesus had baked the fish, get ready to eat. And he turned toward Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? Can you imagine? Do you love me, Peter? And so, is able to come with a song, with a verse of invitation? Provide discipline. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. So while our children may not understand why we discipline and allow them not to participate in certain things, it's not because they're bad, or it isn't necessarily that they've done something bad. It's just that we are protecting them. And we're doing it because we love them. So tonight, that was just a few things when it comes to how parents are to function. The role of a parent. Again, we talked about a parent is to protect and a parent is to provide. Next Sunday night, we're going to have off in light of homecoming. But the following Sunday night, we'll meet back, and then grandparents, aunts, uncles, and siblings, kind of all in the same boat, but have a little different, just a little different angle. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the attention of your people, Lord. We just love you. We thank you for all things. God, I pray tonight that if something was said that was a help to someone or somebody wants to come and pray about something, you'll give liberty to do so. Help us all just be that present parent who protects and provides, and which I'm sure we all are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.